chose this part of the world to give us Jocassee, and to give us the Jocassee Gorges, and to give us Lake Kiwi, and give us these beautiful mountains, these beautiful waterfalls and everything. But, hey, I'm glad he did. Jim Matthews is glad he did as well, and he knows more about this area than anybody else, I would say. And right now, that Falls Park at Kiwi, between 71 home sites between Lake Kiwi and Lake Jocassee, with private lake access and nature trails and Blue Ridge Mountain views, and was really, really affordable lots right now. I want you to go to fallsparkatkiwi.com. Now, that's the letter A, the letter T, at, not the at sign. fallsparkatkiwi.com to find out more and find out about this concierge boat service they had, to find out about the lots and what the lots looked like and the waterfalls and the trails and what all that looks like. It's really going to be cool. I didn't know anything about McKinney Creek until I saw the website and started looking some of that stuff up, too. I knew about Jocassee and about Kiwi, but this is a beautiful, beautiful development. To find out more about getting in at this stage, and the sense of urgency, by the way, is fallsparkatkiwi.com, fallsparkatkiwi.com. And I now know why we have drones. Ashby, you know why we have drones? To go do flyovers at Lake Kiwi and some areas over there.
Come on.
That's why we invented drones. Because, man, it is so beautiful. To our guest lines, Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. Paulie Streets, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Hope you are as well, sir.
We are blessed. Hope you had a good 4th and having a good summer. Getting ready. It's right around the corner now, and everybody's getting all pumped up next week and media availability and all those kind of things. But let's kind of put a bow on the class and recruiting on the last couple of guys. Clemson's still waiting. Is it 2? Is that the final number for this last recruiting class?
I think as circumstances stand for the summer recruiting, you know, obviously roster attrition and things could change dynamics in the fall. And who knows if somebody came available that they liked, there will be other developments going down the line, but at least as far as them mapping out what they want and need, by the end of the summer, I would say 1-2 spots remain, and the one that we're all kind of watching in the immediacy is Seth Tillman, 4-star defensive line out of South Point High School in Rock Hill, who announces his decision on Saturday, sometime a little after 3 p.m., where he's kind of having a ceremony at the school. Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, and Michigan are the 4 finalists. But really, we've kind of circled, for at least a month since Clemson got the final official visit that we believe the Tigers are trending in the right direction there. A young man who grew up going to Dabo Swinney camps for any number of years, and got some family that is Clemson fans. Georgia was the favorite for a long time, seemed to have the inside track, I think. I think it was a matter there of Clemson getting a final shot, getting the chance to take their at bat, and I think they made the most of it.
Tillman is often an unfortunate situation too about his dad, because his dad passed. Mm-hmm. And I read it right. I think he posted that the other day. His dad had passed away recently, been in bad health, but passed away recently. Man, I just think that's, you got to think about, like, this is happiest moment of kid's life so far, and he's making these big decisions, there's attention on it, and then this happens. And I know they've been dealing with illness, but man, I just, prayers to that family, for a young man that age to lose his dad like that. I thought about it a lot when you wrote that, but that's a very unfortunate situation.
Yeah, certainly, one of which our prayers are with them, but as you said, he had even kind of set out, for the background is the father's had kidney disease and been in and out of the hospital, and they've kind of been battling with that for a while, and had set the July 11th date, really kind of pushed it out a little bit with the hope that his father could be out of the hospital and be able to attend that. So that's kind of factored into the timing here. So for for him to pass this week, certainly some poignancy to it, but our thoughts are with Seth and his family.
Yeah. What kind of player are we talking about, Paul?
6'3", 300, You know, it was probably 265 a year ago at this time. So, you know, I think we see with a lot of guys, a lot of defensive linemen, you know, it's not in high school. It's not what they are today. You're looking at body types, frames, and how they're going to fill in. You know, who's someone who has played able to play defensive end through, you know, certainly through his first 2 years in high school, played inside and outside last year, but a mobile, agile kind of body who has played some high school basketball. So you kind of see that in some of his movements and how he goes. You know, I think he's got a pretty good motor to him, but you're really looking at an athletic, kind of more of an agile, I don't know if I would say necessarily explosive, but an athletic, an agile, mobile, bigger body who's, you know, credited with 15.5 sacks as a sophomore, 8.5 as a junior. So a good football player, you know, just kind of, and for Clemson or whoever was getting, but, you know, as we're kind of projected him to Clemson, you know, I think as you look for the last couple classes, Clemson has, you know, they've lost Kashawn Stansel. They lost Isaiah Campbell, both top 300 type prospects. And I think I think Tillman, who we have ranked 116 overall, and I think is 133 in the industry when you combine 24/7 and ESPN. You know, so everybody kind of views him in that ballpark of being a top 125 to 150 kind of player. You know, I think Clemson's capacity to go and get that kind of defensive lineman again, you know, I think it kind of embodies how this class has gone through the summer on Clemson kind of showing and demonstrating that they're fighting back in recruiting and able to go do that. And there are different circumstances with Tillman, as I laid out, with his background and Clemson having some layers there. But I think their capacity to go win that kind of recruitment and beat a Georgia again, beat Michigan, which came on strong in the end. You know, I think that Tillman embodies the efforts they've had this summer to kind of circle the wagon.
Any, as we shift gears over to Seth Williams, the other one that you're waiting on at this point in time, any movement there? I know this is one that's kind of gone back and forth and had maybe a little less structure, a little less maybe a little less knowing, I guess. Maybe a little more not as clear situation. Anything here as of late?
Sure. Seth Williams, the 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", safety out of Atlanta. You know, that's one where I say when Clemson's got one or two positions, I don't think Clemson's necessarily going to take another safety if they don't get Seth Williams. But if Seth Williams wants to come, they've got a spot for him. Georgia-Atlanta battle that I think the only real tangible movement, like I think the kid in his mind is wanting to move toward a verdict. But I think we're also seeing Georgia move on some safeties to where they've got a couple that are going to announce within the next, you know, within another week or so that I think could that influence his direction or be reflective a little bit on. I think people think, people around that recruitment think that Clemson's got the edge, but it could go either way still to where I think maybe there's a chance that moves the needle even more in Clemson's direction. You know, but I think that's one that both Georgia and Clemson have kind of drawn a line in the sand and say, like, we want you, but it's your decision now. We're not going to get into necessarily an auction-type recruitment down the stretch here. So, I mean, I would anticipate if indeed it's Clemson and Georgia and nobody else, and that's what the young man continues to say, I think that we will have resolution, I would guess, and it's strictly a guess, you know, before this month is over with. But I don't think if you're Clemson, you're just kind of standing pat and like, we're here for you, buddy, and we want you, and you know, it can be on your timing. And I think that you know, can and potentially, I think it could potentially play to their advantage in how they have played this out.
Again, it makes sense to me. Well, first of all, on those guys that George is waiting on, higher-rated prospects at safety, or is that safe to say that they're maybe those guys coming in might help Clemson? If you might be a Georgia fan, if you're Georgia recruiting fan, if you're Clemson at that position right now,
Well, I think one is comparably rated, and there's a great range on a lot of these guys within the industry. So, you know, Sean Poole is probably the main one I would highlight, and he was on the official visit weekend with Seth at both Clemson and Georgia. But that's one where, you know, people thought he was going to Tennessee. I think Tennessee thought the price was too high, and they backed off. So it became Florida State. You know, Florida State's probably got the biggest deal out there for him. But, you know, not a lot of guys want to go to Florida State right now. And I think Georgia has kind of come out of, I won't say out of nowhere, but Poole was not trending toward Georgia by any means. And I think they've got momentum now. And he is, I think, of comparable profile. Different people have guys rated differently. The other one's Adrian Poole out of Douglasville, Douglas County High School, that I think is pretty consistently a you know, whether a lower four star or a three star type, maybe not quite the profile, but I don't know that either one necessarily spells for Williams that like maybe I shouldn't go there, but I think the accumulation there back to back, I think leaves an impression, and I think it remains to be seen if you're Georgia, are you going to take three safeties here at the end? All, you know, where, you know, certainly you'd like them all, but I think there's the component that everybody deals with on, you've only got so much within your budget, and, you know, I think it makes sense year over year to maybe not overload on one year, and you're trying to pace yourself and spread out and distribute not only talent, but salary and everything. So I think there are various factors that could add up to that being helpful for Clemson's situation, but I don't think it's definitive that whatever happens with the other two will impact Williams.
All right, you opened the door on this one, and I'll let you talk about it for the final minute or so, or 2 minutes of the segment. Florida State, not a lot of people wanting to go there now. I understand that. Who in recruiting right now is hot outside of the obvious ones? Is there a team that's coming up? You feel that way? And then who on the other side of it, who's that Florida State type conversation where they're just not recruiting the way they did at one point in time?
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of fascinating how UCLA is taking off this cycle. You know, for a school that for the last number of years has really suffered from the lack of investment in football, and, you know, particularly relative to what USC and Oregon have done on the West Coast, you know, I think Cal schools have had the reputation of being much more academically driven, and, you know, it could be a stereotype, but like Southern schools care about their football. California schools, or, you know, even West Coast schools, you know, do not. And so I think for UCLA, you know, they went and hired Chesney out of James Madison, and that was well and good, but they put their money where their mouth is there, and I think that people have been surprised a little bit on just how good that staff has been, like that was a home run hire for with the head coach and the assistants that they brought to town. There's just some real energy behind their recruiting, so I don't know that necessarily manifests in the product immediately turning around, but they're getting some guys, and guys that they have not even approached getting for the last number of years when they've had some other signature name head coaches, you know, that have been higher profile, but then just not a lot of substance behind them. So I think UCLA doing well has jumped out. You know, I don't think you can dismiss just kind of how mediocre Alabama has been recruiting-wise. Mm. And certainly, you know, the flip side there is like their class is going to be better than it has shown to be, you think, but there was a time 2 or 3 weeks ago where they were 50th in our rankings. I think they're in the 25s now. But they're still, you know, you could say there's no excuse for that. And while they may not have spend what Ohio State and Texas Tech and what you'd think that Alabama is spending, you can't convince me they don't have the resources to where they should be a 10 to 15 in the recruiting rankings. And so at some point you wonder to what degree that reflects, you know, some of that could be that they are so portal focused and have made it so professional in their evaluations and roster building that they have diminished the significance of high school recruiting in their roster building process. But I do think that it is fascinating how they've kind of fallen off a cliff. And does that, to what degree does that reflect that that's a staff without connections really in the South and truly into relationships, which I think Kalen DeBoer very much gives off that vibe in all his interviews. You wonder the connectivity he has. But Alabama kind of dipping in recruiting, or not even dipping, kind of falling off a cliff, I think would be the one that is surprising and most notable this summer.
Looking right now, Rivals.com, Alabama 35th in recruiting, Florida State 36th. Tell me about TigerIllustrated.com and a big announcement coming up in a couple of days.
Absolutely. We'll have more on Seth Tillman's decision coming out of the weekend. Continue to track Seth Williams as well as, you know, I think we will see some movement here in the coming weeks or at least next month or two, just as far as developments on Clemson chasing its quarterback for the next class. I think that takes a priority status here early, as we're seeing dominoes start to fall there. So talking season officially gets underway Tuesday with Clemson's, you know, in-house media day. So we'll have a lot of coverage rolling out from that and that through ACC media days and kind of moving into August camp, which gets a little later start this weekend, but just, you know, provides a greater window for talking season to expand on us.
I love it. The place to find it, TigerIllustrated.com. Let's talk about talking season when we visit next week, Paul.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Mickey.
Thank you for your help. Paul Strelow, TigerIllustrated.com. Much more to this.
With the Roar app, whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing,
touchdown!
The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world.
Your Tigers.
Your Tigers.
And have you ever seen this garage floors? You ever seen a video on their website of their garage floors getting poured out?
No.
Oh, yeah. Go to it right now. Go to Carolina Flooring Specialists. There's S at the end. CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com. And it's really cool. And it throws 100 pounds of chips down and how it all works out. There's a video at the bottom. But it shows you what they do and how they do it. And then you get to see, like, the other thing is go to their galleries and see people's garages and how awesome these floors look, man.
These are so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, look at the galleries.
Whoa.
This guy here's got a basketball court in his garage.
That's nicer than most people's, like, kitchen counters.
Yeah. Garage floor can look amazing. Call Tim Morley to find out. 10-minute, no-obligation phone call. So much more affordable than CarolinaFlooringSpecialists.com. I had some other things I had planned for the final two segments, but Pauly Streets just opened up a couple of avenues that I want to touch on. After I get an Abs Grove text line, 7136. Mickey, on the World Cup today, we have a great game, France and Morocco. A little bit of history. Morocco actually gained its independence from France on April the 7th of 1956, so the game might have a little something extra in it.
Ooh.
I like that. I like that. And there's one on here I want to get back to. I'll get to it in a second. But Paul Strelow opened up the door for us about Florida State recruiting and about Alabama recruiting. So I just told you this. Alabama in Phil Steele's magazine. The 41st ranked offensive line, not 41st, 61st. What was it? 60 offensive line in America. Bear with me.
61st, I think you said.
61st ranked offensive line in America. Alabama. Like, how'd that happen? In many ways, it doesn't look the same. Now, quickly, Alabama at quarterback ranking. He's got them. Ooh, this isn't good either. I might have stumbled. I didn't realize this. See, I think Bama's quarterback's going to be pretty good this year. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think they have some big, strong, athletic quarterbacks. And then I'm looking right now, 38th according to Phil Steele. Man, Alabama running backs, according to Phil Steele, oh, ouch, 41st. This is not going to be a good offense.
Is there?
Kendall DeBoer better dial him up, better do call some ball plays. 10th at wide receiver.
Is their main running back going to be a true freshman? I think it may be. They have this EJ Crowell kid, or Crawl or whatever.
Yeah.
Coming in, 5-star. Is he their guy?
He might be their guy. Daniel Hill was Daniel Hill wasn't very good last year, though. And the Riley kid wasn't very good last year. Remember this. Remember how I just gave you the Clemson stat about running the football?
Mm-hmm.
124 yards a game last year, and I just ripped Clemson for not running the football? Clemson averaged 124 yards a game last year on the ground. And I sit there and said, that's embarrassing. Can't do it. Got to run. Tracy Chapman, get me going. Talk about a revolution. Run the football. With that said, how many yards do you think Alabama rushed for? Clemson 124 last year. How many think yards per game rushing football last year? What do you think?
I would guess probably 140.
Lower.
Lower in Clemson? 100.
104 yards a game.
Oh, my God.
Alabama.
How the mighty have fallen in that regard.
By the way, they won 11 games. They went to the college football playoff. But if you remember, Alabama couldn't run the football last year. Alabama last year had 87 yards rushed against Florida State. Remember, Florida State ran for 230. Florida stinking state. Alabama ran it for seven. You okay?
Yes.
Okay. You about fell out of the chair over there.
Had a revelation.
Built by Bama. You got a revelation?
Not a revolution. I'm not talking about a revolution.
Run. I guess Wisconsin last year, Bama rushed for 72 yards. They beat Georgia rushed for 117. Vanderbilt 168. 125 against Missouri. 120 against Tennessee. They rushed for 72 yards against South Carolina in Williams-Brice. They rushed for 56 yards against LSU, a bad LSU team. Rushed for 80 yards against Oklahoma. Rushed for minus 3 yards in the SEC championship game against Georgia. Rushed for 28 yards against Oklahoma in the playoff game.
Mickey. All right. In 2020, Alabama was number 4 in the SEC in rushing offense. All right.
In what year now?
That was 2020.
All right.
That was 5 years ago.
All right.
Where do you think they ranked last year?
13th.
15 out of 16.
15 out of 16. They rushed for 23 yards against Indiana last year. Remember, Indiana physically lined up and smashed Alabama last year. Indiana ran for 215 yards, Alabama 23. They rushed for 202 more yards than Alabama. They lined up. And you know what, Phillip? Remember that story about the offensive coordinator told?
Yes.
That Kirk Cignetti said, in the pregame, in the build-up, we're going to run down Bama's throats. And they're not going to be able to run the football on us. And in line, if you remember now, Heisman Trophy quarterback, Mendoza, threw the ball 16 times against Alabama. In a 28-7, I'm sorry, in a 38-3, throttling. Got throttled. Remember that game going out there? Remember those SEC network guys that were like, oh, man, built by Bama. Wait till they see Bama. I remember in the pregame show when I was like, man, I looked at just how big Bama is compared to Indiana. And then Indiana rushed for over 200 more yards, beat them 38-3. The game was never close. 38-3.
You remember that Last Dance documentary that came out about Michael mm-hmm. Jordan and the Bulls?
Oh, yeah, where he made up quotes about yeah.
And
yeah.
He would always say, and I took that personally.
Yeah.
Kirk Cignetti took that personally.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
And you could tell, man.
Let me ask you this. This is year 3 of Kalen DeBoer. You made a statement that if you're from Alabama, you're not sure you want to go play at Alabama right now. See, and by the way, Kalen DeBoer's been pretty good, I think. Not great. But, like, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
To hear it at Alabama, though, he's been this huge failure. If you're walking around the state, I think Kalen DeBoer's one of the best football coaches in America. I'm not sure it's a fit at Bama or not. And I don't think anybody can follow Nick Saban. But he's 20-8 Is that good enough? Is he going to make it?
I just don't know about the culture fit there, to be so honest with you. People that I grew up with that are diehard, Roll Tide Alabama fans, they don't love him.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Because you know how it is in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the better football coaches in America? And let me remind you this now. Hold on. Let me back all the way up. When he's at Sioux Falls, the man, he won. He was – I love going back and doing this. Bear with me a second. 28, 41, 56. He was in his last 56 games there. First of all, he was 67-3 at Sioux Falls. And he went to the semifinals once, the championship game once, and he won three other championships. So he won it three times, lost it to finals once, and lost the semifinals once. He was 67-3. He goes to Fresno State and goes 3-3 in COVID, and then goes 9-3. He goes to Washington. At Washington, he was 25-3 and finished second in the country, lost the national championship game. 25-3 at Washington. He goes to Bama, he's 20-8. How many better football coaches are there in the country than Kalen DeBoer? Name them.
At what level?
Well, at the highest level, at any level.
Because I think if you put – I mean, I could be wrong. But if you put a lot of the coaches at Power Four schools in a Fresno State, I think they could probably go 9-3.
How many coaches could go 25-3 at Washington?
I don't know that that's as hard as
– I think it's extremely hard. Let me give
it's
it
hard.
Let me give this to you then. Let me do it another way. In the years – bear with me on this. See, I'm a Kalen DeBoer fan. My point through all this is going to be this is a Bama problem, not a DeBoer problem. This is Bama's arrogance and Bama thinking that they invented this game and that no one's good enough for Bama, and it's not Nick Saban. It doesn't matter. If it ain't Nick Saban, it ain't anybody else. In the years before he got there at Washington, Washington was 4-8 the year before he got there in the full years. Chris Peterson went 8-5 before that. But in the single year right before he got there, they were 4-8. He went 25-3 and played for the national championship. I think Kalen DeBoer is one of the five best football coaches in America. My deal is that Bama is so arrogant. It's got to be a Bama guy. It's got to be our guy. We don't agree with him. He was doomed to fail before there, following Saban A, and then Bama's arrogance B. I think if they leave him alone and let him do his job and get behind him and support him, I think Kalen DeBoer could do huge things at Alabama. But you got an athletic director who's a turd, and you got fan bases who thinks that their turds don't stink.
Ain't that the truth?
So I think this is a Bama issue. Not a Kalen DeBoer issue.
So,
this point, if I'm an athletic director right now and so I hire anybody in the country, Kirk Cignetti's better. I try to hire Kirk Cignetti. Kirby Smart, I guess you'd rather have Kirby Smart. What's his record against Kirby Smart?
Who, DeBoer?
Yeah. 1-1, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Kirby's won two national championships. My point, I don't know, man. I don't know. Look what his record against Dan Lanning is. He's crushed Lanning over and over and over.
So here's my question then.
Yeah.
Is Alabama not providing him the money he needs?
No. Well, I don't think they're providing all the money they need. And no, like Paul said, they should be 10 to 15 in recruiting. They're not Ohio State money and Michigan money. They're not LSU money and Texas Tech
money.
Why? I don't – well, I tell you why. Because he's not Nick Saban.
But that Alabama fan base is still going to donate to Alabama football. Regardless of who the coach is.
I saw this happen with Danny Ford at Clemson, that Ken Hatfield wasn't going to succeed because the fan base was not going to let him succeed. I don't think that this fan base is going to let Kalen DeBoer succeed. I know you think I'm crazy.
No, I think that's some of it, for sure.
I think that
– but he knew exactly what he was stepping into.
He did.
Exactly.
And here's the surprising part. I hear he wants to stay.
Of course he does. It's one of the best jobs in the country.
But is it when they're not with you? It is a house divided there. They're not rowing the same direction. Like, he, put it this way. That man could go to Southern Cal, and I think he's very close to going. I mean, I would have gone to Southern Cal last year. I'd have made the move. Hey, call me.
Agreed.
Let's get rid of this thing. He goes to Southern Cal. He's going to the national championship. Mm-hmm. He almost ended at Washington. I'm just telling you. I think this is a Bama thing. And I think it's their arrogance that's let him down that thing. He ain't one of us, Paul.
Paul, but Paul, he, at the end of the day, though, you should still be able to compete for.
And he has.
The best players in your state and the best players in the country.
Again, he's been good. He hasn't been great. He's been good.
Yeah. That's how I would honestly say his tenure so far has been good.
Yeah.
It has.
But at Bama, good ain't good. At Bama, you better win. You better be elite. Can I give you this?
Mm-hmm.
The year before he got to Washington, they were 4-8. He went 25-3. In the 2 years after he left Washington, they're 15-11. I mean, you want to do Fresno State? Fresno State is not a great example of it because he only was there for 2 years. One was COVID. The other was 9-3. And COVID, I don't care what anybody says. COVID, you just can't judge on that. So let's use the 9-3 stuff for Fresno State. Before they were 4-8 the year before he got there. He went 10-3, 9-3, then he left and won the bowl game. After he left, 10-4, 9-4, 6-7, 9-4. Pretty good. They've been pretty good at Fresno. So that's not a great indicator. The Sioux Falls stuff's amazing. I think he's a great football coach. I don't think they're going to be good at Bama this year.
I think they need to run the ball, and that is on him.
And I think this is it. I think he's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
because we got to take a break. But when we come back, let's do a winning game for Alabama.
All right.
Short break. Much more on the other side.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com. From the locker room to your living room.
Bye, the guys.
Everybody's business, it'd be different. It's going to end well for you. It's going to be so much better than it currently is for you. When you have water damage in your home or business, when you have mold issues in your home or business, that ain't a good thing, and that could be a really bad thing, and it ain't good. Look, it will end well for you. It will be a rapid response team. You'll love it. It's our great friends over at All Dry, myalldry.com, local team. They're going to answer that then. They're going to get back with you then. They're going to call you right back, and they're going to get it done and get it behind you. You're going to love it. And you get back on with life. It's myalldry.com. 864-863-1234. We've learned two things today. One, I love Kalen DeBoer. You hate Kalen DeBoer. He's the bane of your existence.
No.
Here's one thing he better stop doing. He better stop losing badly. So, at Bama, any game you lose is magnified. But it's really magnified when you lose to a 5-7 Florida State team who was, oh, by the way, coming off of what were they a year before that? 7-7. They're coming off 2-10. Opening game of the year, they finished 5-7. They beat them by two touchdowns, 31-17. You lose to Oklahoma at home, 23-21. Georgia embarrasses you in the SEC championship game. Georgia held Alabama to 209 yards of offense. Bama had 3 yards rushing against Georgia. They physically took Bama's lunch money. And remember that Bama had no chance at all. How many first downs did Bama have in that game? Bama had a total of 11 first downs in the game. It was awful.
Mm.
Three and out. It was awful. And then they play Indiana in the Rose Bowl after beating Oklahoma, and well, you think everything's right again. They go to the Rose Bowl, and they get beat 38-3. He's got to stop losing games badly. I'm telling you, I'll do a quick win game for Bama. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
East Carolina.
Win.
At Kentucky. Be careful.
Watch out for Kentucky.
Well, Stein's got going to have it going. No, they'll win the game.
Yeah, right? They will. Win.
Revenge game with Florida State at home.
Win.
South Carolina at home.
Win.
At Mississippi State.
Win.
Biggest game of the year, Georgia and Tuscaloosa.
L.
I'm going to give a win. At Tennessee.
Win.
I'm going loss now. So we got both one win, one loss there. A&M at home.
L.
Agreed. At LSU.
Interesting. L.
Because your dad's listening. At Vanderbilt. I agree. At Vanderbilt.
Dub.
I don't know. Chattanooga.
Dub.
Auburn at home.
Win.
9-3.
Yeah.
If he goes 8-4, he's gone. 9-3, he's got to win something in the postseason.
Does he get to the playoff? 9-3?
No, because he didn't beat anybody at 9-3.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. How many teams get to the playoff now? Like 30?
72.
Quickly, by the way, Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent, 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, BradHughesInsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with them. They certainly help you out. We combine our homeowners and auto owners, and it went great. I there's a lot of things I don't do very well. Ashby, I pick out the wrong grocery line all the time. I'm a terrible racquetball player. In racquetball, I chase the ball down. I don't anticipate the angles. I could break down a football program and can tell you why you're successful, why you're not. And that's from the outside because I don't have all the inside working at Bama. But I can tell you what's wrong. Just what I see on the field wrong. And again, there's other reasons behind it. DeBoer's not the problem at Bama. He's part of the problem, but he's not the problem. The problem is Bama's arrogance. And they won't let him be successful. On the other side of it, the exact opposite of Florida State.
Yes.
Norvell is the problem.
He is.
He did not have a texted. He just re-signed a contract, won't get fired next year. Are you sure about that?
Let's look at his buyout.
I don't care. Bama's Bama. Bama thinks they're better than you. Bama thinks they're going to – he might leave too. If Southern Cal doesn't win, he's going to Southern Cal. His AD at Washington was at Southern Cal. It's a big buyout, I'm sure. But it ain't too big for Bama.
Interesting.
How much?
If Alabama fires him without cause, he's owed 90% of his remaining salary, which is $12.5 million annually through 2033. If he leaves for another school, he owes Alabama $10
million. Pay the 10 and get out. Florida State's the opposite problem. Norvell never had any substance to him. Mike Norvell cashed in a Memphis deal, and the Memphis coaches haven't gone on to do a whole lot. So Memphis is the job, and he cashed that into Florida State was so starved. He's supposed to be the next up and coming guy. Oh man, you see what he did at Memphis? 8-5, 10-3, 8-6, 12-1. At Florida State, they give me this. 3-6, 5-7, 10-3, 13-1. Since then, 2-10, and 5-7. He's 7 of his last 18 games. Actually, more than that, 7 of his last 19. I'm sorry. He's 7-18 in his last 25. Mike Norvell never had the substance. And then on top of that, he made a tremendous mistake. From a staff standpoint, they have other issues that are there. There were some facility issues. There's some support issues, some money issues. But then he went out and hired Gus Malzahn. And what a disaster that was. And it tore Florida State, whatever they're trying to build, tore them apart. He built it on a house of cards during the portal stuff and did a good job of that. And then the house of cards came tumbling down because of the awful, awful hire with Gus Malzahn. Malzahn is a program wrecker, and he's a guy that gets in, and Malzahn destroys morale inside of staffs. He's Todd Grantham. He gets in, and he's a cancer inside of your staff meeting rooms. He's an egomaniac, and he divides staffs. And one person inside of Forsyth told me, as bad as you think Gus is, it's 10 times worse than you think it is. That's bad. 654-ROAR, Alan, final phone call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Good morning, Mick. Glad to talk to you. Just got in the truck, so I hadn't heard everything. But if I didn't know that about Malzahn, I certainly knew that about Grantham. So thanks for sharing.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'm going to catch you off guard on one thing.
All right.
One team in the ACC that's going to surprise us, I don't care if it's up or down, and then nationally up. Who should we watch out for in the ACC and nationally that we're not anticipating this year?
It's a great question. Great question, Alan. I think SMU is going to be good this year. And I know that's not a big shock to anybody, but that's going to be a surprise. I think Virginia's going to be a little bit better than people think. It's not going to be a big fall off here for them. I think Georgia Tech won't be as good. I think Florida State is over. Duke,
right.
I don't think it's going to be very good. North Carolina's not going to be very good. That's not a surprise. I'm very interested in Wake Forest, though, in the ACC, because Wake Forest had a great year last year. Jake Dickert won 9 games at Wake Forest last year. I think he's a good football coach. I don't know what they've got talent-wise, but I think the man can coach. Look for another continued big dip at Syracuse. I think it's over at Syracuse. I think Fran Brown is Angeli will be a little better than he was. You know, he was pretty good before he's injured. Bad injury last year, but I think Syracuse is about over.
That tells you how bad Clemson was if Syracuse beat us.
Yes, well, that was a bad loss. And then Boston College, it's over there too. Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick will be gone. But Boston College is terrible. And I think
North Carolina's going to be the worst in the Power 5 rankings. Are rated the worst.
Yep, I agree with that. And for a reason, because they're not very good. So hope that answers everything. What'd you say? Do you want a national team?
One national team.
Okay.
Surprise.
Ashby, let me just think about the national thing a second. You have anybody for ACC-wise you thought would be better than people thinking or not better as good as people thinking?
Let me think on it. I'm a little bit worried about Clemson playing Cal.
I think Cal's going to be pretty doggone good. They got a great quarterback.
I think so, too.
Now, a new staff, though. So, you know, we wonder how that's going to work out. I'll give you one. This is not going to be what you're looking for here, Alan. I think Indiana's going to be very good again. I think Indiana's going to be you know, lost a lot of pieces, but I think Indiana's going to be right there in the middle of it once again. And BYU's going to surprise some people this year. Really like the quarterback there and like the staff there a lot.
What about Oklahoma?
I think Oklahoma's going to be good. I don't think they're going to be great. The offense will be better. I don't think defense will be as good. But they're going to be one of those birds. They're 10 to 15 in that range. So not elite, but very, very good.
Okie doke.
Good phone call, buddy. Thanks an awful lot.
Thank you, man.
Best music of the day. Did we think about that a little bit? I'll let you think of that while I tell you about Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. For all real estate needs, EricNewton.com. Get in touch with me. Certainly help you out. EricNewton.com. You got to play the best music of the day. It's not going to get better than Tracy Chapman.
That's true. We burned the best music of the day early. You know what I'm saying? I can get us.